Let's take our Bibles and open to Galatians chapter 6. And it seems like it was longer than 2 weeks ago that we were here last, but it was 2 weeks ago. Last week we missed because of the hurricane, but 2 weeks ago we started in Galatians 6, and I didn't quite finish this message, so I'm going to give you the tail end of it tonight. That does not mean you'll get out early, but maybe. We'll see. Galatians 6, 2 weeks ago, started this message on the spiritual attitude that we all want to be equipped with. So let's read the first couple verses there. I'll remind you where we were. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So verse 1, you see that word meekness. And a spiritual person, according to what we just read, a person who is spiritual will have the spirit of meekness. Notice the word spiritual. Notice the word spirit. Spirit of meekness. And in that verse, the person who is spiritual will be in the restoration business. Understand, restoration does not mean that a person has sinned and we just say, oh, that's all right. That's not restoration. Restoration is a person has sinned that you know. They seek to be forgiven by God, and if they've offended somebody in the church or another person, they make it right. And if they've taken those steps, what should be the attitude of the others that they know? They should be restored. They should be welcomed back in fellowship. Now, if a person is going to sin and not make things right and be belligerent, that person should not be restored. But a person who does seek restoration and takes the right steps, they should be restored. And what that means is they're welcomed back in fellowship. The person on the other side who has not sinned, but is kind of observing this. Maybe it's a part of a church, and you have somebody who's been overtaken in a fault, and they seek restoration. We are to have the spirit of meekness, and notice the end of the verse tells us why. We all should consider who? Ourselves. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, it's really easy when people sin and make a mess of things, it's really easy to say, can't believe they did that. I would never do something like that. Yeah, you better be careful about that. Now, you ought to call sin, sin. Yeah. You got to be very careful about saying, I'm above that, or I would never fall into that kind of sin. Because when you say something like that, you are opening the door for the devil to step in and possibly, if you're not careful, get you with the same trap that they got the person in that you're talking about. So the spirit of meekness understands that, really, you and I are nothing. We should not judge other people and think that we're better than them spiritually because maybe they made a mistake or they sinned and we didn't have the same sin. We should always understand that if not by the grace of God, we could fall into the same trap. So I started off by telling you, meekness is not weakness. A lot of people associate that word meekness with somebody who is very weak. That's not the case, and I'll show you some things about that in a minute. A synonym of meekness, a really good synonym, would be humility, to be humble. Another good synonym associated with meekness is submission to God's authority. Submission to God's authority. So I gave you, I think we got through seven of these. I'll give you the seven. We'll actually look again at the seventh, and we'll move on from there. I'll end up with 10 tonight. But so far, here's what we have. A meek person puts the opposition in the Lord's hands. And what I mean by that, we got that from the book of Numbers with Moses. A meek person does not seek revenge. A meek person lets the Lord sort out all the details of revenge. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That's the Lord said that. So a meek person lets the Lord sort things out when it comes to revenge. Number two, a meek person is faithful to the Lord. Saw that with Moses. A meat person, number three, is a servant of God. We also saw that with Moses because he was considered the meekest man on earth at the time he was alive. Number four, a meek person praises God. And here's the thing about praising God. When you praise God, you are acknowledging someone is higher, better, and more powerful than you. And you put yourself in the right place, which is a lowly place, realizing that God is obviously above us. Number five, the meek are willing to be guided by the Lord. Number six, the meek are willing to be taught. They can be taught no matter how old they are. They always realize they need to know more about the Lord and His ways. They also know that they only know best when they know what the Lord says about something. That's the best way, knowing what the Lord says about it and doing what He says instead of what we want. Number seven, I left off on this one, but I have to give you a little sword drill tonight. So keep your finger in Galatians. We'll actually end here tonight. But let's go to the Old Testament book of Zephaniah. I got to keep you in the habit of finding hard places in the Scriptures. And man, this is a hard one to find. Zephaniah is the fourth to last book in your Old Testament. It's not a very long book. But you have Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi. Right after Habakkuk, you have Zephaniah. Find chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. This will be number 7. I think I gave this one to you before, but we'll just kick off here and do a little overlap. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye what? All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Okay, from that verse, what I have is number 7, the meek seek the Lord. Those words rhyme, seek and meek. The meek seek the Lord. You can actually take some other things from that verse. Notice what it says about the meek. It says, which have wrought His judgment. They're more interested in God's judgment than man's. They seek righteousness, and obviously a meek person will seek meekness. So there's a few things there. Isaiah 55 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. So good thing to remember, always be seeking after the Lord. Don't people seek the most foolish of things in the day we live in? People seek, you know what people seek, I noticed more than a lot of other things today? People seek escape from reality, don't they? Think about it. TV, add in all the social media possibilities that people can get in, YouTube, then entertainment, concerts, games. People spend a lot of money just detaching from reality, don't they? And why do they do that? Why would people not want to be in reality and try to seek a little relief from reality? Why would they do that, folks? They got nothing to live for in reality. That's why it doesn't amount to anything to them. It doesn't mean anything to them. Aren't you glad that if you're saved, you have meaning and purpose in life? And reality is okay, isn't it? I know it's tough. You folks can say it as good as anybody because you've been through some things. It can be tough. But notice the difference in a saved and an unsaved person. A saved person, when it gets tough, what should they resort to? What's the point we just had here? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. But what's the world do? Let me see how I can escape this, even if it's just for a moment. And isn't that only how long it lasts? A minute, an hour, a couple of hours, and then here they are right back. Oh, let me find something else to get away from reality. Aren't you glad that you can deal with reality only because you know the Lord? Amen? People need the Lord, don't they? The world needs the Lord. Okay, let's go on here. Let's go to the New Testament for this next one. You're in Zephaniah. Go to Matthew. Matthew 21. The meek seek the Lord. That's number 7. This will be number 8 over here in Matthew. Now, you'll see this passage is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see our word that we're talking about tonight associated with Him. So if it's associated, if meekness is associated with Jesus Christ, shouldn't all of us desire to be like Him and be meek? Absolutely. So what's that mean when it comes to our Savior? Let's read the first five verses, because you'll see our word show up in verse 5, but let's get a little context. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. If any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Verse 4. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying. And by the way, this is from the book of Zechariah, actually. Verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, who's coming? We had this on Sunday morning. Who's coming? Thy King, capital K. Thy King cometh. Now, when you think of a king, before I read the rest of the verse, what is a king usually riding? Not in modern day, be riding in some kind of fancy car, but I'm not talking about the modern day. Back up a couple thousand years, what type of animal would the king be riding? What did the Lone Ranger ride? A white horse. A conqueror would ride a horse. Look at what the king rode into Jerusalem at his first coming. Look what it says. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. What's that next word? Meek. What's he riding? And sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. I find that really interesting. Jesus Christ, at his first coming, did not ride a horse. Now, he's riding a horse when he comes back the second time, Revelation 19. But the first time, what did he come to do, folks? What did Jesus Christ come to do the first time he came here? He came here to die for our sins. So his first coming is associated with humility, or our word, meekness. So here's what I put for number 8, associated with Jesus Christ. The meek think more of the Lord than they do of themselves. And I say that because the Lord humbled Himself because He was willing and obedient to do exactly what God the Father sent Him to do. It's signified by the animal He's riding the first time, and also signified by what He did after, a little later on in this, in the book of Matthew, you find out He's falsely accused, He's tried, that's a crazy monkey trial, and then obviously He goes to the cross. All that happens so that He could have the glorious resurrection occur after that. But number 8, the meek think more of the Lord than they do of themselves. So, willing, obedience, submission to God's will, that's what you see associated with Jesus Christ at His first coming. So, pretty neat. So again, if Jesus Christ embodied meekness, we should certainly do the same. Just a reminder here, I consider you folks to be very spiritual folks, and I mean that. The fact that you're here on a Wednesday night and wanting to pray with one another says a lot about your spiritual state. Praise God for that. Here's the thing, though. Every one of us has the flesh still, don't we? And that flesh loves you. Or maybe I should say itself. That flesh constantly rises up wanting control. And we constantly have to put it down and yield to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, obviously the greatest at yielding to the Spirit of God. And when He did that, He was humble. So a person who is spiritual will be meek and humble and will yield to the Spirit of God and will lead them to do that. I deal with sports on a pretty regular basis with my job. And I deal with athletes and coaches at school. And I will tell you, if you watch, I do a lot of watching practices and games, and I just do a lot of observing. And sports are they're great in so many ways, but they're so dangerous. Because here's why. You can just see by the way a person, young or old, carries themselves whenever they do well on the court or on the field. That flesh revels in people applauding them. That flesh loves that. And here's what that leads to. Man, I'm pretty good. Man, I am really good. And sports have a way of humbling you. And that's a good thing. But even if you've been humbled, and I played baseball, so I faced humbling numerous times because it's such a hard game to play. But I tell you, even after you've been humbled 20 times in a row, and then you succeed, and people are telling you you did such a good job, that flesh just rises up and wants to be right back in control. So you constantly got to put that flesh down and be humble and meek. Let's go over to Galatians. Let's get number 9. Just got two more here, so we're doing good on time, folks. Galatians chapter 5. That flesh wants to be in control. You've got to constantly put that flesh down. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. Should be familiar verses to you. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And you can probably guess a particular characteristic in the list. 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is 9 of them. The first one is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and there it is, meekness, number 8 on the list, temperance, number 9, against such there is no law. Now look at the next verse, it goes along with what we just said, 24, and they that are Christ have done what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So that flesh, notice the Lord knew. He knows exactly how we are. Right after He tells us all about the fruit of the Spirit in two verses. Verse 24, reminder. You still are in that flesh. You have that flesh. And what you have to do is crucify that flesh. The book of Romans says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You have to remind that flesh does not have control. Because that flesh wants control all the time. That flesh wants glory. That flesh wants to be fed all the time. Have you noticed that with your hunger? That flesh just, it's really dangerous, I tell you, especially in a country that, come on, let's be honest, we have all that we need to eat and more, right? We have all we can eat and more. Your pantry, your fridge, just like mine, we got plenty of food. So the problem is that flesh needs, that body needs food, but that flesh says you need another chip. Watch out for the chips. You need another bite of whatever it is. You need another cupcake. That flesh just always says, have you ever had the flesh bargain with you? Your flesh ever try to bargain with you? Mine does. Hey, just one time. One more cupcake or one more cookie one time. And then next time we won't do it. I won't even want you to have it the next time. And how does that turn out every time? The next time the flesh says, just one more time. That flesh is raging. So I think it's really interesting that the Lord, if you look at the way this chapter is laid out, in verses 20 and 21 of Galatians 5, it's the works of the flesh. I think there's 17 or 18 of them. And then verses 22 and 23, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And then right after the Lord tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, He reminds us in verse 24, He says, hey, you have to crucify the flesh or else the fruit of the Spirit will not be seen in you. So let me just take the one meekness. Meekness has to do with thinking of yourself less than you do the Lord. Doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself, but it just means that you put things in the proper order. You think more of what the Lord wants than what you want. So here's number 9. This goes along with what Galatians 5:23 says about meekness. The meek allow God's Spirit to work in and through them. The meek allow God's Spirit to work in and through them. They don't brag, because if they were bragging about their own greatness, they would not be meek. So they allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in and through them. So I think I might have mentioned this 2 weeks ago. It might be a good idea to set a little alarm. And when that alarm goes off, time for me to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Reminder, put down that flesh, yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you don't do that throughout the day, your day will get going so fast and you'll find yourself making quick decisions and you're not yielding to the Spirit, you're yielding to the flesh. So good to have those reminders. Maybe you want to put little post-it notes. I write post-it notes all over my desk at school. Maybe you want to put a little post-it note somewhere that says, yield to the Spirit. And that'll help that spirit of meekness flow through. Okay, a few other verses here, and then I'll get you the last one. I have some verses that are kind of in between number 9 and number 10. And these verses are all in Paul's letters, and they mention meekness. And I just wanted to do this because to Paul, obviously writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meekness was a part of his life and the Christian life. So go to Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians and then Ephesians. Take a look at these. These are all pretty much in order, I believe. Galatians, Ephesians, and we'll go to Colossians in a minute. We'll go to Ephesians 4:1. 4:1 and 2. These are really good verses just to live by. Good practical instruction here tonight. Verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Okay, it mentions that word vocation. All of us have a role in the body of Christ, don't we? And God has equipped us to fulfill that role. He's given abilities to everybody that are a little different so we can fulfill that role. Look at the next verse. With all lowliness and meekness. Okay, now look what follows. This actually goes along with the Galatians passage. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So over there in Galatians, it mentioned restoration of somebody overtaken in a fall, having to do with meekness. Here in Ephesians, he mentions meekness being associated with long suffering. That's a good Bible word. You ought to know what it means. It's really easy. You know what long suffering means? That means you suffer long. It's a really easy definition. Now, in this context, it sure does appear that it's dealing with long-suffering towards other people that maybe aren't so easy to deal with. Because look what's next. Forbearing one another in love. So what that means is you look at other people and you're willing to be patient with them. You're willing to suffer even for a long time with them because everybody is not where you are spiritually, are they? Some people need time to get to where they need to be spiritually. And if you just happen to be maybe a little further down the road spiritually, a little more mature, you are supposed to be, I'm supposed to be long-suffering toward them and forbearing towards them because that reveals our love. And what the idea here is this. I'm guilty of this. I deal with young people and I constantly have to be reminded they're kids. They're not adults. That doesn't mean they can do whatever they want, but at the same time, they're not going to achieve the spiritual maturity of an adult for the most part. And I oftentimes expect them to, which I obviously shouldn't. But you got to understand where people are spiritually. Everybody is not spiritually mature. And since everybody is at different stages of spiritual growth, that are people that are saved, make sure that people that you know that are maybe way behind, make sure you give them time to get to where they need to be. Has God been patient with you? Man, He's given me a lot of time. The Lord could have said many years ago, hey, I gave you enough chances. I'm done. He didn't do that. He's still giving me chances right now, and I don't deserve them. Same, I'm sure you could say the same. Let's make sure that with other people, I know it's so easy to be critical and say, I can't believe that they keep going back to this or back to that. How about we pray for them, number one. How about, number two, we think about that could be us. And number three, keep loving them and allow the time to pass for them to get to where they need to be. Because, man, I know God's done that with me. He's been very, very patient and long-suffering and forbearing towards me. So, again, meekness has to do with not just this attitude of you need to be humble, you need to be lowly, you need to be meek, but also it reflects on how you deal with other people. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I tell you, as a teacher, it's really, just being honest with you, in a classroom you have kids of different levels of knowledge and maturity. So what's real easy to do as a teacher is to take your three or four that are really way up there and compare the rest of the class to them. It's not a good idea. Because everybody's not the same. And praise the Lord, everybody's not the same. And everybody is not the same as far as how fast they pick up certain things and how fast they mature. So since that's the case, be patient with them. Be long-suffering towards other people that are maybe not where they should be, but God's allowed them some time. We need to give them some time as well. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Watch the next two. They go together. Humbleness of mind, meekness, and then look at this word. We just saw it. Long-suffering, and then the next verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Man, there's a whole lot right there. But just real quick, notice that humbleness of mind and meekness are one after another there. And they're not exactly the same, but they're very closely related. And then the next thing the Lord tells us after meekness is that word we saw in Ephesians. Long-suffering. Talking about dealing with others. And then the next verse, we see the word we saw in Ephesians again. Forbearing. Forbearing one another. And then He added one. What did He add in there? Forgiving one another. Not always easy, but that's what we're called to do. Forgiving one another. And why do we forgive? The verse tells you why you should be forgiving to other people. How come? Well, has Jesus Christ forgiven you? Did you deserve to be forgiven? I know I didn't. Do other people, isn't it sometimes really easy to say to other people, maybe you don't say it, but you think it, there's no way I could ever forgive them. You ever had that thought? Don't be honest. I know you have. Or maybe don't lie. Everybody has. And you got to remember, nobody deserves to be saved. Nobody deserves to be forgiven. Hey, people are going to do foolish, sinful things, and sometimes it might directly be against you. And number one, let God sort them out. Number two, be willing to grant forgiveness. Isn't that a lot easier for me to say than to do? Certain situations, that is tough. Sure is. All right, so there's Colossians. That's a good passage right there, just practical stuff. Go to Titus. You got Colossians, you got Thessalonians, you got 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 2. This word just shows up a bunch in the New Testament, so we need to know about it. Meekness. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Actually, I'll read verses 1 and 2, get a little context. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. 2, this is a good one, to speak evil of who? Ooh, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all what? Meekness unto all men. Now, look what the next verse says. It goes right along with what the other verses have said about this spirit of meekness. Why should we be meek and gentle? Verse 3 tells us, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So notice that we've seen this a few times. When meekness appears in your Bible, associated with that is how we handle people who are, in this case, foolish, disobedient, deceived. And the attitude we have to take is, that was once me, or in a second, I could be that. You got to keep that in mind. It'll keep you humble, and it'll keep you meek. So hopefully this is kind of helping you think about people you know that are not easy to deal with, but if God has put them in your life, even if they've been a little bit of a thorn in your flesh, God put them in your life so you could deal with them biblically, which might mean extending them some charity and having to endure some long-suffering because of them. Again, what's the goal of this? Sometimes people take longer to mature. sometimes they go through these stages, and we just need to keep praying for them, keep pouring into them, and just be patient with them. Okay, last one here. Ephesians, go back to the left here. Ephesians chapter 6. This will be the last one. End up right at 7 o'clock. Ephesians 6. Actually, I'm sorry, I got one more. We're going to end up in Galatians 6. We've got two more. Shouldn't take very long, though. Look at Ephesians 6 and go down to verse 12. This is right in the middle of this passage about the armor of God. Look at something here in this verse. Verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against... Now watch this. We've been talking about spiritual things here, a spiritual attitude. So watch the end of the verse. Against spiritual wickedness. And where is spiritual wickedness? In high places. Now, where did we see the spirit of meekness? Where do you find the spirit of meekness? In low places. Humility. Notice that the contrast, spiritual wickedness, seeks what? Up, up, up. Your Bible says, he that exalteth himself, over in 1 Peter, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Lord will lift you up in due time when you humble yourself. But I wanted to show you that contrast. The spiritual attitude, according to the Bible, is meekness. The worldly attitude, according to what we just read right there, is pride, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the middle letter in the word pride just happens to be what? I. So when I is in charge, we seek to be exalted. We like to think of ourselves highly. And watch out for that. That's just contrary. Just the opposite of the spirit of meekness. So I thought that was a good little contrast. Go to Galatians. We'll finish up here. Could you give you number 10 from Galatians chapter 6 here. So Galatians 6. We read verses 1 and 2. And then I want to give you verse 3 here. It goes along with what it said about meekness. Let me read verse 2 and 3. Verse 2, right after it says, spirit of meekness, restore such a one, it says, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Reminder, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, what does he do? He deceiveth himself. Here's number 10, the meek are willing to bear the burdens of those in need. That's in verse 2 there. Bear ye one another's burdens. The meek are willing to bear the burdens of those in need. And I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. It's been really neat to see over the last 3 weeks with Pastor being out how I'm looking at a group of people here, and there's others as well in our church that have been big time burden bearers. And you've taken on some things that you didn't have before. And you made the load heavier for yourself. And you were okay with that because you knew that this is what needed to happen in order to take care of some people, in order to please the Lord. So the meek are willing to bear the burdens of others and those in need. And a last little reminder here to end up tonight with meekness. You will not be meek if you are self-deceived. And how can you deceive yourself? Notice God keeps putting these reminders. Right after He tells us about being meek, He gives us the reminder about what can happen if we're not meek. Verse 3, if you are not meek, it says here, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I know that people are deceived by the cults. People are deceived by false doctrine. But I think the greatest deception is this one right here. When a person is deceived by themselves because they think they're something when they're not. So beware of that, because that will keep you from being meek. So there's 10 things going from 2 weeks ago into the night about meekness, the spiritual attitude. So as we wrap up and pray here tonight, our prayer will be, Lord, help me to exercise the spirit of meekness as I move forward in this week. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for showing us all these scriptures, putting them all together for us. Sure is humbling just to look at what we really are, just being flesh and blood and pretty useless without you, completely useless without you. Help all of us here tonight to truly arm ourselves and clothe ourselves with meekness. I know that we all deal with people that are difficult, and I pray that we would realize that is a great opportunity to be meek towards them and to give them the space and time that they need to mature spiritually, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you for folks that are here. And I know there's folks that would like to be here but can't, and they have really good reasons. I pray that our church folk this week would be strengthened by your Holy Spirit. May we be led by your Holy Spirit. May we get them some things done this week for you and for eternity. And we just ask for your hand of protection on us as we go. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.